he's right here, so. Oh, he topped it. He cold topped it.
Okay. Ready to go. Yeah.
Eight iron.
Oh, he shanked it. Oh, look at that line, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, boy, is he out of sync.
Welcome to the Bogey Boys podcast.
You're joined here by Kevin and Mark, strangely on a Sunday.
Yeah, no American golf,
no
so
American
we can
golf,
record
really?
Early. Straight off a big win for Billy Horschel.
An American golfer. I don't know what that means. Like, well, I called it, didn't I?
You did
basically.
Call it. You did call it.
And then picked Tommy and put a bet on Tommy. I don't know what went on there.
How are we anyway, mate?
Good, man, yeah, very good.
Yeah.
How's things with you?
Good, yeah. Very good, yeah. Fresh off your lesson with Sullivan, how'd
it
go?
Do you know what? Like, it was Bosch, you know, went in. It was set up, it was in Wigan and at Tour X Golf because he's informed me all like once every, like one Sunday a month or something.
Okay.
And I went like, and he was ended up being from Crosby, went to Chesterfield School, knew a few people that I knew. It was like, we had quite a lot in common, really. I was saying, he was like, what you were hoping to get out of it? And I was like, I just want something to work on, something to practice towards, and just basically look at me, stroke. And he's like, what you struggle with? And I was like, well, I'm really struggling with speed on the longer putts, do you know what I mean? And I've just started using a line and lining the putts up, so I've been holding a few, like, 20-footers and all that. And then there's, like, a 13-foot putt on the carpet, on the 10 on the stimp meter, and the little backstop behind the hole was like 3 foot away, so like that, yeah. You're meant to get it past the thing. If it rolls over the hole, you've held it. Anyway, the first putt just did it, went, fuck, I went straight right down the thing. I was like, oops. And then I hit another one, missed it, hit another one.
Was it a straight putt, was it?
Straight, yeah. And he's like, people always get found out on a straight putt because there's no hiding from it. It goes where there's no break.
Yeah.
And
so what was the purpose of it going right? Just your stroke, or was your aiming right, or what happened?
Yeah, my head was tilted like that, like on the side. Then my whole shoulders were aiming right. My putter face was aiming right. And my path was anyone that I got online, I was closing the face and pulling them in.
Yeah.
But some of the numbers and like some of the information that he gives you is unbelievable.
What like?
Just like your rhythm of your stroke, your consistency of your strike, like your angle of attack on your strike. Just everything like that was, and then it gets all marked on consistency and like an average thing of like 10 balls. And then he gave me a few things to work on to like square myself up and lean from the hips and like keep my posture better and stroke it. And he got everything better. And I've held a few beasts on the weekend as well. Yeah. So I'm just like, wow.
Putting it into practice, yeah.
Yeah. So I'd like to see your numbers, to be honest.
I know, I'm looking forward to going to see him, to be fair, after what you've just said there. I'll definitely go in.
Yeah, no, it is. It's sick, you know.
Well, I'll have to
it
go is, in, definitely. What's his price?
£80 for the hour.
That's good, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's, I think Kenyon and Kansky are a bit like big time now, so they've made your Brewsties to get
who
them.
Who does Sullivan work with? Tour players, or does he work with any tour
I didn't ask him, you know.
No?
I didn't
There's
ask
no
him.
Kansky and Kenyon have got some big names, haven't they?
Yeah,
so.
Kansky teaches both of the Højgaard twins.
Does he, yeah?
Yes, we had back-to-back wins there. Like.
Brilliant for him, now, isn't it? I know. And obviously, Kenyon's got all the big boys, hasn't he, on the European Tour, really?
It's mad, isn't it?
He's got Stenson, Fleetwood.
Yeah, Rory's been down
Westwood.
To see him. Like Chris Wood. Only because I've seen him down there.
Has it, yeah?
Adrian Arnoux as well.
Yeah.
He's been down there a few times. Oh, Eddie Pepperell, seen him down there.
Mm-hmm. I didn't play any golf myself this week, no, but I've got back in the gym now, which I'm happy about.
Yeah, seeing you had a bit of an animal week there, didn't you?
An
just
animal
in there
week,
every day.
Yeah, every day,
sick,
yeah, getting a bit of a routine. Now,
are we in the morning?
What?
Are we in the morning?
1,000,000%, yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. They've got to get the routine now. The kids are back in school, so it's a matter of getting the gym before I take the kids to school and then say kids. I've only got one.
I'm about to say if you had another kid.
But it works out perfect because it's forcing me to go now and knowing I've got to be back at a certain time.
Yeah.
So just that first week, getting back in and getting into a rhythm is always hard, isn't it?
Oh,
but
mate.
Once you get past it and through it, like I'm motivated to go now. I've got things to work on off mat. From 3D Golf Strong, obviously, give us the programme, hasn't he? So, just working through that. But
the harder step's always out the door, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. It's out the bed for me.
Yeah, fuck, that is a graft, isn't it? I have to, like, drag myself up by my head like that. Oh, it's a nightmare. But, yeah, I played some golf. I played, it was the last chance to qualify for, like, this medal championship. You'd have to come a certain position in a medal over the year. And, no, I didn't. I was cruising one over. Going down 14 and then going down 15, sorry, and just my only aim of the day was to keep a double off the card,
yeah,
even if I have to play out sideways.
You said that last week, didn't you? About the doubles are killing you,
killing me. And then it took twice, I didn't play out sideways and take my medicine, and twice I made double.
Yeah, it just shows that you've got to make your medicine. Yeah, we've seen that today. Wiesberger on three, I think it was. He had the third hole. It's a bad shot. Probably could have got it up onto the green if he wanted to and went for it. Probably similar to what you've done on 15 there, but yeah. He chipped out and got up and down for his par. So exactly. You know, take your medicine and just trust your short game.
That's yeah. Well, that's it. Like, you've got another, if you go for that hero shot, you've got your one in whatever percentage. But if you can lay it out to like 100 yards, you've still got that chance to get it on there, and you've still got another chance to hold it. Like, do you know what I mean? One putt.
Well, yeah. If you had 100 yards in on a par four or a par five for like your eagle shot, you'd be thinking birdie, wouldn't you?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Up and down for birdie. So why can't you think the same for par? Yeah.
It's weird. Just a few mental errors there. Yeah. Like, it would have been obviously them two. You can say ifs and buts and all that, but them couple of pars would have been a nice little one over round. I felt like I was hitting it solid.
Yeah, it's four shots at the end of the day.
Everything else was solid, you know what I mean? But it's just, yeah, just a few mental decisions.
Yeah, I'm back at the playing in the comp next Saturday, so and I've got a game on Thursday.
Yeah?
Yeah, just Heighton and Prescott.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so one of the lads has invited us down to play there, so I'm going to go and have a game.
Has he invited me?
What?
Has he invited me?
Four balls, sorry, mate.
Fuck off.
Yeah,
I'm not even coming if someone drops out now for that.
So playing there on Thursday, and I've got the tournament on Saturday, yeah, but not been playing much, but glad to be back in the gym, really.
Yeah, no, decent, yeah. Doing well. We'll keep it up.
Mm.
Other news, a big win for Europe, wasn't it? We done the pod last Monday, didn't we?
Yeah, great win for them, 15-13 overall, yeah. Obviously,
Leon and Maguire was just on fire, wasn't she?
What a rookie performance that was. If you're putting someone in as a rookie, that's what you want to see. Oh, you want to,
yeah.
She has been good all season. We spoke about it when we were building the Solheim Cup up. But she hasn't won. No. She comes second once. So you don't really know how good these people are. But obviously she's proven there. I know it's a team game and stuff. But even the passion when she was holding putts and winning them. And she was right up for it, weren't she?
There was 130,000 people, I think, at the event, you know.
Yeah, throughout the whole week, yeah.
Yeah, it's mad, that, isn't it?
Shows you the game's growing massively.
The women's game is massively growing.
Yeah, it's growing definitely. Big time. Yeah, at a good speed. And, you know, you talk about the entertainment value. That was just as good as any Ryder Cup I've watched.
Yeah, no, it was unbelievable.
Obviously, the only difference between the men's and women's game that people speak about is the distance, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
but
it, yeah.
If you create the courses around the distance that the women hit it, you're going to get the same amount of birdies and the same amount of entertainment.
Well, like that stat that you said, where it's about the distance, like the average you're getting up and down and 295 and 100 yards and stuff, it's distance, isn't it? It doesn't win you the tournaments, does it? No. Like we always say, so it's...
No, there's on watching the BMW there today, there's time and time again, them sticking it close and missing putts, sticking it 30 foot away and holding putts. You know?
I know, so it's mad, isn't it?
It's just the quality of the game, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah, but talking about obviously Ireland and Leona Maguire there, Royal Port Rush have announced they've got the Ryder Cup there, 2025.
The Open, you mean?
What did I say?
The Ryder Cup.
It's gonna be one of them days. Yeah, the 2025 Open Championship.
Yeah.
Like one of the best Opens I watched that, seeing Shane Lowry pick that victory up there at Port Rush. We gutted as well for Rory, wasn't he? He had a mare first round, and although we done well, he missed the cut, so he'll want a bit of revenge. Yeah, so looking forward to that when it eventually comes, but a bit of news there for Ireland getting the Open back.
We should need to start that petition for a Parkland Major, don't we?
After watching that today.
It's just boss, wasn't it?
Like, it was difficult as well, yeah.
The Belfry or the, we're there maybe.
Mm-hmm.
It's good that Billy Horschel compared it to the players, isn't it? Like Europe's version of the players.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's a flagship event. Yeah. You can see why. If it weren't Ryder Cup, yeah, you'd have a lot more Americans coming over like you did at the Scottish Open before the Open. You'd have a much bigger field. But obviously because the Ryder Cup's so close, all the top players in the world just prioritised staying in America, didn't he?
Yeah.
The American guys, anyway.
It was never in September, was it, when we used to work there? Remember being in the summer, mate? May? It was always in May.
No, wasn't the BMW Championships always the end?
I'm pretty sure it's always hot.
Fact check.
It's always hot, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, but September, you can get hot days, can't you? Maybe August, then. It definitely wasn't May. It wasn't the beginning of the season, the BM, surely.
I just keep seeing May in my brain.
We'll come back to that.
That's
it. One thing I have seen on the social medias is this rule around falling into a divot.
Oh, my God.
Again, I've done a post about it. And then I keep seeing people's response to it. Like a lot of people, like probably 90% of people, are saying, oh, my God, yeah, why hasn't that rule been changed? But there's a small percentage who a couple are saying, like, players at lies, it's golf. A lot of people are asking to define a divot. And what do you define as a divot?
What do you mean?
Exactly.
Who's asking for that?
There's a couple of responses.
Give me the numbers.
A couple of responses around saying, like, define a divot. Like, what is a divot? I think the biggest problem the USGA are having is defining what a divot is.
A divot is a hole in the ground made by a golf club. So it's the, like...
But I think you've got, you've also got some, on some courses, if the fairways are burnt out, or if it's a smaller divot, or if there's a bit of burnt grass, or, you know, like, there's a bit of damaged grass somewhere. Yeah. Does that get defined as a divot because there's, like, there's holes in the fairway? Do you get relief off that?
Yeah, like ground under like ground under repair.
Yeah,
it?
Well, I was thinking about all of these things, and I've come up with my own definition.
Go on then.
For the USGA, they can have this if they want. When turf is completely removed from the fairway surface that is not otherwise marked as ground under repair, is a divot.
Ooh, what?
Say, for example, if they were re-turfing a part of the fairway, they dig up the fairway, and I'm not a turf expert, so I'm assuming this is what they do. They dig up the fairway,
yeah,
where they're going to replace it, and then they would mark it as GUR until the new turf goes on top. So if you landed in the space where it was marked as GUR, you'd get relief, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Well, all a divot is a smaller version of that. That's not marked as GUR.
It's more GUR than actual GUR, isn't it? Because it's 1,000,000% ground that's under repair.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's repairing itself, yeah.
Like, it's been unearthed.
Yeah.
Like, some of the divots that, like, I was taking on Saturday there, like, you lose your ball in them. Like, honestly, they were, like, heavy carpets.
Yeah, I just think... If the difficulty is defining what a divot is, we've been in the game of golf long enough to know what a divot is.
Yeah, of course. Well, it's like saying that a droppings of a burrowing animal. Like, you've got more chance of finding determining what a divot is than what a burrowing animal is. Do you know what I mean? Haven't you?
And I think the other point to it as well as what you're saying there is, like, how often do you go in a divot? It's very rare, isn't it?
Yeah.
But that one time that you do go in it, you want relief because it's not really fair. Like, it's so difficult to control the ball. Lee Westwood was a prime example of that.
Yeah, when the tournament was
at the Arnold Palmer, yeah. Like, going down the 72nd hole, the course has obviously been battered all week because it's like they were the last group and everyone had played that 18th hole four times.
Yeah,
so,
exactly, yeah.
He's found a divot. Pin was back right with no green to work with and there was water right. So without being able to control the ball, he can't go for the pin, which means he had to go for the middle of the green, and then his percentages of hole in that putt are then slimmer, and obviously Bryson wins the tournament. So, you know, I'm not saying Lee Westwood would have won that tournament or forced the playoff, but the fact that he weren't given the opportunity was just unfair.
Because of a divot?
Because he landed in a divot. Yeah. So he's hit the shot that he needed to hit.
They're saying that they can't define a divot and, like, it might open things up to cheating or blah blah blah, and it's just too much leniency. Why don't they just change it for the pros then? At least. Because they're costing them livelihoods and different things, isn't it?
Yeah. But I'd even say top amateur tournaments as
exactly,
well.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe, and then leave it down to the clubs to define their own rule. Like, clubs have local rules, don't they?
Yeah.
So define your own local rule for divots.
Exactly. Or, like, I've certain areas, where, like, layup zones, where that's the, if you're in a divot there, then you can move it.
Yeah.
If you're in a divot somewhere else, you can't.
Yeah, because you look at the short par fours on golf courses where the players are in irons and laying up short, and they've got wedges in. The landing zone is battered, isn't it?
Exactly. Like, especially at Formbjord, like, where the par fives, just before the water, on 7 and 3, and even on 14, 18, where people are laying up, and there's layup, it's a layup zone, like the actual, it's full of divots.
And with the pros and the top amateurs as well, they all take divots because of how well they strike down on the ball,
exactly,
and compress the ball, so
I know.
It's very...
Like, it needs addressing.
People are obviously putting their opinions out there to say, like, obviously, player as it lies, it's golf, but I don't think you should be punished. All right, if it goes in the rough and you find a divot, then fair enough, you've hit it in the rough, you're having it a good shot. So,
yeah.
Although it's a bit unfair that you get punished in the rough as well, I don't think it's as bad as hitting a ball perfectly down the middle of the fairway and then being told, oh no, you've got to play that 110-yard shot out of a divot with no idea where it's
going
to go.
Especially if you've got, like, a foam ball, you're going over water and things, it's hard.
It's difficult,
do you know what I mean?
Like, if a ball plugs in a bunker, then, you don't get relief because a bunker is a hazard. You're supposed to get punished for going into a bunker. Sand is soft, so there's a chance of it plugging. If you don't want to take that chance, don't hit it in the bunker. Yeah. But if you're hitting it in the fairway where you're supposed to hit it and you land into a divot,
exactly, yeah,
you're it's completely unfair, yeah, completely mm-hmm. unfair. So I just wanted to have another discussion on that just because it was a hot topic. I mean, there's a good, I was reading the comments and there's a good bit of a debate going on, some really valid points and some points that you'd think, well, it doesn't really make sense. But
no,
USGA are more than happy for them to use my definition if they want it.
I can see them doing that actually. I can.
And then the only other news which I come across is obviously Ryder Cup. Yeah, Ryder Cup's in 2 weeks. There's a Nicholas Jacklin Award that's being introduced for the first time for the Ryder Cup, obviously inspired by the event in the 1969 Ryder Cup at Royal Birkdale.
I see, yeah.
No,
yeah.
When Jack Nicklaus conceded that putt on 18 to Tony Jacklin to half the match and half the Ryder Cup. So it's awarded to one player from each team, based on the decisions that they make throughout the week that are critical to sportsmanship, teamwork, and performance. So they're looking for that one player in both teams who stands out as being very sportsman and being one of the team players, but also performs well. So it's like the definition of a Ryder Cup player.
Yeah.
So like over the years, Poulter probably would have won that for his passion, his teamwork, and his performance. As long as there's the sportsmanship there, as we know in the Ryder Cup, when Nicholas gave Jacklin that putt, it was probably one of the best.
It was the first ever half, wasn't it, as well?
Exactly, yeah. So,
selection
committee is going to be Jack Nicklaus, Tony Jacklin, and past European and USA captains. I'm not sure which ones, but they're going to be the ones who decide who wins for each team. What?
Imagine it was all of them.
All in the room arguing. Yeah. I don't think so. And then, it's going to be awarded at the conclusion at Whistling Straits in the Ryder Cup. So, we'll see who wins that one, yeah. So I just thought it was a good little
talking point,
yeah.
It's good to know. Hey, I've got some news. The BMW Championship, well, it used to be the Penfold PGA Championship since 1975, has been in May. Do you know who won it in 1975, by the way?
It was in May, was it?
Yeah, yeah. All the way up to 2019. It's the first time I got moved to September.
What am I on about then?
I don't know.
Why do I think that's always at the end of the season then?
Do you know what? It used to be at, like, the other at Birkdale Hillside, you know?
Same tournament?
Yeah, yeah.
When did it start at Wentworth then?
It was at Hillside in 1982, Tony Jacklin won. It was at Wentworth at the start for 3 years and then it went away in 1984, went back to Wentworth, and then it's been at Wentworth ever since, 1984.
Yeah.
But have a guess who won it in that 1975 one?
Arnold Palmer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sick, man.
You were talking about him on the...
Oh, was they, yeah.
Commentary this week about some of the shots that he played, like historical.
It was at Royal St George's.
Was that a Wentworth? Fucking hell, what's going on here today?
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, well, maybe Arnold Palmer never won it that year that he played at Wentworth, but he definitely played and they were talking about some of the shots. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, talking of the BMW Championship.
Yeah, I was going to say, actually, speaking of Arnold Palmer, he was the first person, or the last person ever to shoot his age on a PGA Tour event.
Was he, yeah?
Yeah, he shot 71.
At 71?
When he was 71, yeah.
Brilliant, that.
Mate, you want to see him swinging it, getting around. It's mad, you know.
Oh, what a boy. What a player.
It was the PGA Tour poster the other day.
Was it his birthday yesterday, wasn't it?
Well, then it must have been yesterday that I seen
it. Yeah, it was his birthday on the Saturday of the tournament, yeah. So, Billy Horschel.
What a guy.
I know. Added motivation, he said.
See him walking away with the hammers, his fist crossed like the West for the West Ham.
Yeah, yeah.
What's up with him supporting West Ham, like? Mad, isn't he?
Yeah. Don't know why. He's obviously in his post-tournament press conference, he's saying how much he loves this tournament and coming to the UK. And
loves London, doesn't he?
And you could tell how much it meant to him, obviously, when he stuck it. Oh. About an inch on 18 or a foot on 18 and
how great was when he went to fist bump the caddy and the caddy like high fived his fist and then he waits and then he's like waiting again to get the
this
fist bump off him.
I've
got a newfound love and respect for Billy Horschel these last couple of weeks since he was in my Ryder Cup picks.
I know, we're talking about being in the Ryder Cup picks, I fell for him a bit, to be honest.
Yeah.
He said Stricker didn't even phone him to tell him, like, he went, I understand that he hasn't being as consistent as he should to get a pick over the last couple of weeks, he said, but I thought I'd at least get a phone call off Steve Stricker just to tell me that I'm not in.
Yeah.
You know, because he did get to the Tour Championships, he played well. I think he finished top 15 in the FedEx overall, and then he's obviously turned around and
won this. And he's won the match play as well, didn't he?
He won the match play against Scotty Scheffler, who got a pick ahead of him.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I don't know what's happened there, but You know, there's been a bit of controversy over those picks, hasn't there? Especially the Daniel Berger and the Scotty Sheffield one over the likes of your Kevin Na, Patrick Reed, and say we'll come on to the full picks once we've concluded the BMW. But yeah, first American to win a Rolex Series event, Billy Horschel.
See, Afi Barnrat got off to it. He was flying there on the like today. Under.
Well, he led after day one, didn't he?
Well, he had a 64, didn't he, day one? And then he had another 64 today, which is like, you have two 64s in a week, you're expecting to take the trophy home, really, aren't
you? He just had a bit of a slow one at the Friday, Saturday, didn't he?
Yeah. But, like, I just thought he was staring like a 9 or a 10 in the face when he was winging them, like, little rescues over into the gardens.
Yeah.
He ends up dropping, he had like a chip, he could have made par nearly.
Yeah, ends up making a bogey on 17. Yeah. I think that's what's cost him, hasn't it? You look at the field. And the whole field are making birdies. He's got either going birdie or par birdie, at least one or two under. So if you're one over them two holes, you're losing at least two shots to the field, and ultimately that's what's cost him. If he'd have finished one under over those two rounds, you're looking at a different winner.
Exactly.
Over those two holes, you're looking at a different winner.
Of course, yeah, because it's two, three shots, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? It's massive.
Yeah.
And I thought Horschel had fucked it as well when he knocked his drive, hitting driver on the last. Right down into the ditch, sort of, but luckily somehow it stayed up.
Stayed sure, and he made a good recovery shot, and then the rest history, innit? Ends up taking the victory by one shot over quite a few, and one player he did was Laurie Canter. Oh. I was impressed by him all week, to be honest.
I know, it seemed like he was sort of defeated himself before he even, off the tee shot on 18, he was on the bit of an upslope by the bunker, and he just seemed like he was arg about that, then he hit his second, then he was a bit arg about his third, and then he was he wasn't walking with purpose to obviously Horschel stuck it close, so he's got a right to be more pumped up and more buzzing, but you've got a chance to tie to get into a playoff.
No,
and
definitely.
He knew he was never holding it, didn't you?
He looked defeated, didn't he? He looked walking down the 18. Yeah. But I think going back a hole as well, he had quite an easy chip on 17 and ends up knifing it through the back, and that's just all nerves, isn't it?
Full nerves.
You know, he's looking for his maiden victory there on the European Tour. He's not won on the tour yet, so that would have been
first. There you go. It's all the pressures in it that just come with trying to close out an event.
I know we can't compare events. A win's a win, but obviously this is the flagship event you're playing against.
Is that your new word? Is it flagship?
Flagship's my new word yesterday. The inaugural flagship of the season.
Inaugural flagship.
If he wins that, then he's not only winning one of a Rolex Series events for one, he's also taking home a heavy check, isn't
heavy.
He? So, you know, all that, it probably shouldn't play on your mind, but it's going to play on your mind, isn't it?
Of course, it's going to come in.
So,
A 1,000,000%.
Yeah, again, another one who was couldn't take advantage of the last two holes, and you finish par, and again, you're losing at least one or two shots on the field again. So, it was interesting when you look at the scoring going into the final day of the tournament. The difference between the front nine and the back nine, the difference in how they were playing. The front nine was playing 136 over par, and the back nine was 417 under par.
Jesus.
I think it's a tournament. Well,
there's three par fives on the back side, isn't
it? Eagle opportunities. Them first three holes are so tough as well, aren't they?
I think Tommy bogeyed the first, like three out of the 4 days.
Yeah. So 474-yard par four to open up with. It's not easy.
See, Fitzpatrick had a bit of a mad round. He was cruising. He was six under. He went birdie, and then gets onto, you're thinking, like, two birdies to finish on your par fives. Makes an eight on 17, and then birdied the last.
And then birdied the last.
Yeah, he hit it exactly where Afi Barnrat hit it. Dropped, hit it short, duffed the chip on and three-putted.
Crazy,
innit? Honestly, man, it was like that triple that I made when it just snowballed. It was a bit problem after problem after problem, like that.
It can happen, can't it?
Oh, 1,000,000%. Did you see as well, there was a few lady fans out as well, did you notice? I posted on the story, Adam Scott was hitting a shot, and then someone was like, crikey, he's got my arm. Just like, someone get this clown out of here.
Right to the Masters, and add that to the ban list.
In it, definitely. But did you see as well, on 18, they took the all the glass out of the hospitality.
Oh, a bit more of an atmosphere.
A bit more of a buzz, a bit more, kind of like get a bit more cheers and jeers, do you know what I mean? Really good that we didn't go, to be honest.
I know. We should have got down there, really, but we've made a promise, haven't we, to each other that next year we're going to get to, like, at least five events.
We should make an effort to get to at least the ones in England.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But we went to the Scottish Open this year, and obviously Kieran was over at the Arnold Palmer, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And done a bit of a story for us. So
that was boss.
What?
That was boss, wasn't it?
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah.
Because if I've been to a PGA Tour event like this year, pandemic, like what's happened? What's going on?
He smashed it, hasn't he?
Yeah. But Tommy had a good finish as well, didn't he? Like,
very good, yeah.
Six birdies on the back nine to.
Yeah.
Hopefully he takes that bit of momentum to Whistling Straits in a couple of weeks.
Well, that's his final tournament, isn't it? Before he gets over there, and obviously just sneaking in at the last minute as well, being Wiesberger.
No,
he had
yeah,
a level par, shot 11 under for the tournament, not his best round of the week, but he got in ahead of Lowry.
Yeah.
Obviously, as we're doing this podcast now, the picks haven't been selected, so it makes it a little bit harder for Podrick, I think, there.
Well, I just believe that, like, why, if they're going to film Podrick doing it live, why don't they have Stricker doing it, like, the same time? Because obviously he knows, Podrick knows what he's up against now.
Yeah.
And obviously he's got less to pick, and he's got less... Probably got less picks to make, and he's got less choice probably to pick from.
Yeah,
because the American team, like, could be there's other people missing out.
I don't know why he's picked so early. I understand that, like, the tournament, the final point scoring tournament for the USA team was the Tour Championship of the FedEx. This tournament this week at BMW didn't impact on their rankings, but at the same time, you've got Billy Horschel there, who's come over and beat everybody in Europe. Like, the pretty much the whole European team was playing this week. Apart from likes of Casey and Rory and Ram. I think they're the only three that were in the team that didn't play. But he's going to beat them all, so surely that's got something to do with your selections, whether, like, he's...
Of course, like I was saying last week, like, you should get picked for effort, or, like, a bit of... But at least another, like, an eyeball on you, to, right? Oh, he's having a little do. Let's see how he goes.
Yeah.
If he wins that. Like I was saying last week, which I didn't realise, that the picks were actually on Wednesday. If Billy Horschel wins Wentworth, then he should get into the Ryder Cup. Because I had him in my picks, didn't I, that I said?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he just hasn't.
I know.
A few, some weird selections there. I'd have Scheffler right out of there.
Would you?
And big Billy Horschel in.
It'd be an interesting decision for Stricker if Brooks Koepka has to pull out because of his wrist injury. We still don't know whether he's going to play. So
if you're Billy Horschel and you're pissed off already at Stricker, what do you do? If he rings you and goes, oh, Koepka's injured, do you go?
Of course you go.
I know, but like, if he's beefing me, like, he's really upset, isn't he?
Yeah, but at the end of the day, that's like, it's not about who he's upset with or anything. This is the chance to represent your country in the Ryder Cup. You're not going to turn that down just because you're a bit pissed off because Stricker hasn't phoned you to tell you you're not on the team. Again, added motivation again, yeah, to say you should have picked me in the first place. And I'm going to prove that the same way you did this week at the BMW. But the Ryder Cup team for Europe, the final nine is selected. We've mentioned Wiesberger there. He's in. John Rahm, Tyrrell Hatton, Tommy Fleetwood, Rory McIlroy, Victor Hovland, Paul Casey, Matt Fitzpatrick, and Lee Westwood. That's your final nine. Obviously, Podrick's probably picking the three as we're on now.
As
so,
we're speaking, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll obviously we'll have a little look
who,
at that.
Because I had Wiesberger in my picks last week, so...
Yeah, last week I done... Ian Poulter, Sergio Garcia and Robert McIntyre.
Ah, yeah.
I'd take McIntyre out and Lowry in. So I wouldn't have Rose.
I'd have Lowry, Rose and Garcia me.
Wouldn't have Poulter?
Nah.
Leaving the postman out?
He's donkeying it, isn't he?
He's the postman though, isn't
he? Yeah, but he can be give him a vice captain role or something.
No, it's not the same. Come on. Surely not. You've got to have Poulter in. He's not exactly playing poor golf, is he? He made it into the BMW top 70 on the PGA Tour this season.
And, he just didn't really impress me enough this week, to be honest.
No, this week.
Like, I was watching him duck hooking rescues into the trees.
He had
a couple of bad swings.
Tyrrell Hatton missed the cut. No, what's interesting about Tyrrell Hatton as well, and there's a couple of players the same, it's inactivity.
Killed the cat.
Honestly, it's like, he finished second at the Palmetto Championships, Tyrrell Hatton, on the 13th of June. And he's only played in five tournaments since then.
Has he really, yeah?
Five tournaments, and he's missed four cuts. And I think the other tournaments, he finished like top 20 or something. He's coming into this Ryder Cup with no form.
No.
We know how good he is, so he can just turn up and play. But I just think when you look at the Americans team and how active they've been right up to the end of the season, and now they're having a week or two's break, and then they're going right at it, they're all playing solid golf.
Why hasn't he been playing?
He got married, didn't he?
That old chestnut.
He got married, and then I don't know whether he was injured or something happened, but there's a few of them, like, obviously, Victor Hovland as well. He had a bit of a break, didn't he?
Yeah.
For about 3 or 4 weeks, and then, you know, he's come back. You've had Matt Fitzpatrick not been playing that much.
Yeah.
Lee Westwood's been in and out of form and not doing things. We've spoke, haven't we? I know Tommy's had a good 2 weeks there, but his game on the PGA Tour this season's been... dreadful, hasn't it, really, compared to his standards.
Poor,
Rory got that win, but obviously He's changed coaches now to Peter Cohen, so he's going through a bit of a transition. The only one that you can, well, I'd say probably two or three players that I can be confident with going into this Ryder Cup is Hovland, Casey and Ram.
Ram, yeah.
They're the three that I would as a captain I'd be confident with. As you look at the American team, and we'll come on to that now. Bryson DeChambeau, Brooks Koepka, DJ. Dustin Johnson, Colin Morikawa.
No, DJ hasn't really been doing much lately, has he?
Well, no, DJ, no, but I mean, if you look at the strength and depth, though, just the six that got in the team.
Cantley flying.
Cantley, yeah, exactly. Justin Thomas, he won the Players and hasn't really done much since then, but he's never missed a run of cuts. He's always been like top 20, there, top 10, top 15, whatever that is, yeah. So, again, Bryson DeChambeau, two victories, nine top 10s, one of the best players, arguably. We were talking about him being player of the season.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's doubt about Brooks Koepka and his injuries, but he obviously won the waste management, didn't he?
Yeah.
He's playing well. Just lost out to Mickelson at the PGA.
Mm-hmm.
Always good in big tournaments. DJ's probably the one that you're thinking you wouldn't be that concerned about, but as good as he's been. But he can, yeah, former world number one. Colin Morikawa, again, arguably going into the playoffs. We were talking about him being player of the year, weren't we? And how can you not?
Well, he's won two tournaments. He should be higher up the rankings, but he's dropped off the boil a touch, hasn't he?
But he's had a back injury as well.
Winning them majors does that sometimes to you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? The hangover of the buzz of it all.
Yeah, definitely. No, it's difficult to, obviously, again, we always talk about how spoiled we are by Tiger Woods. Yeah. He was just a one-off, but yeah, it's very difficult to win a major. DJ's a prime example of that as well. Obviously, where's his form gone since winning the Masters in November?
Like we said, we thought he could never lose, man, and then exactly, he's come up and like, hasn't never done anything since, has he?
Well, he won the Saudi, well,
the Saudi, that's it. Yeah.
And again, like the new year, and you're like, wow, he's going to be unstoppable this season.
Yeah.
And he's just been, we haven't seen much of him at all. So,
no.
And again, there's the other players there that you got, the ones that have been selected. Jordan Spieth, you know.
Good, very much back on form any this season.
Very
got
much back on form. And you look at the strength of the putting. Like, if you've got Jordan Spieth and Patrick Cantlay in a team going against you know the putts are just going to go in from anywhere on the green. It's just going to break
your
heart.
It's never over,
isn't
it? Like playing against you.
It is. Harris English, again, one of the surprise packages of the season.
Two wins or whatever he's had this season. Like,
two wins,
Look what, where he fell apart. He's been playing very, very well.
Yeah, eight top tens. And like you say, he could have had a couple more wins, like you said there. Xander Schauffele, although he hasn't won on the PGA Tour.
Gold medal.
There you go. Yeah.
Gets it done.
Tony Finau. You know,
got it over the line again.
Got it over the line. A couple of second place finishes. Had a really good season. What?
A couple.
I know, yeah. And then the other two are just the ones where there's a bit of controversy, isn't there? Scottie Scheffler and Daniel Berger.
Well, I was saying Daniel Berger last week, wasn't I? When I was saying he could caught a bit of form, maybe catch his eye.
Yeah.
He's on the fringes of it, but.
And he wins every year for the last couple of years, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He's had four wins on tour, has he?
Yeah, they're not just
wins.
Going off now. It's like they're going off 3 years worth of rankings and points and form, aren't they? So.
No, definitely. I can probably see an argument for the Daniel Berger one when you compare that to players who've missed out, like Billy Horschel, Kevin Na, Patrick Reed. They're probably the three that have been the most pissed off, aren't they? But again, like Scottie Scheffler, that's a very controversial pick.
Honestly, look at Billy Horschel go there. He's speaking. He seems like a dead nice fella. He's won the match, but I just cannot see how he hasn't picked him over Scheffler.
He beat Scheffler
exactly,
in the final of the match play as well.
Exactly.
Yeah, so
like,
I don't know what the tactics are there.
What in life is going on here?
It is a difficult situation. I mean, I know there's been a lot going on with the Patrick Reed situation. There's a lot going on with that there because, you know, he should have been Captain America, they call him. His performances in the Ryder Cup speak for themselves, but he's obviously not.
But yeah, it's a performance that you've done. Like, shouldn't it's like with the Poulter thing? I know he's boss and he's the postman and all this sort of stuff, but I just think that there's probably better players out there that are more suited to play. We could have had Captain America versus Spider-Man, like in the Avengers.
That was great.
That one, Tom Holland, in Driver of the Deck, when Pat Drake says,
"That's brilliant.
If you hit that the green, I'm going to pick you." He's like, shakes his hand, and I'm like, "What? This is."
You'd have me worried there for a moment.
He rips it, doesn't he, as well?
Rips it, yeah. It's a very well, yeah. Well, talking about captains and obviously statements that they've made. It was great to hear Steve Stricker talking about Tiger, wasn't it?
Oh, mate.
I know. So he come out and said the Tiger's rehabilitation to get better and try and play golf again is going well.
That's it. That's all you want to hear.
That is all you want to hear, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That is like... I'm surprised that didn't move the needle, to be honest, and like win target the 8 million. So honestly, that's how small it needs to be for me for him to.
We were all over it, weren't we?
Oh, unbelievable!
Brilliant, yeah. But no, it'll be interesting. I mean, obviously, the I know there's another tournament on the European Tour now, but for these guys who are playing in the Ryder Cup, the golf's done now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Next time that they're going to tee up, it's going to be at Whistling Straits.
Yeah.
So what are you thinking going into it when you look at the two teams? Obviously, we don't know yet about the three captains' picks, but what are you thinking? America breezing it, tough?
I do see America winning, especially on home soil, and Stricker's taking them to the course to play and practice.
Yeah.
So I just, they got too much firepower, I feel.
I agree. I think when you look at the strength and depth,
like, I just can't see like DJ Bryson, any of them being like scared of like Weisberger and like they do Fitzpatrick.
I think it's form as well. You look at that European Ryder Cup team, like I said before, and like the only ones that stand out to me really, I know I mentioned Casey before, but the only two main ones are Ram and Hovland. They're like your two strongest in the team, aren't they? And they're like the two highest ranked in the world as well.
Yeah.
So you would expect that, but then you look at the American team and it's just power wherever you look. Morikawa, Cantley, Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, Xander Schauffele, Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah, it's a heavy team, isn't it?
It's just like, it's the players that you see week in, week out at the top of the PGA Tour.
It's heavy, isn't it?
And I know team events are different. And there's obviously discussions about the camaraderie within the team and people don't like Bryson and people are arguing with these people and things.
Well, do you know what? I've got a bit of hot news off the press here. The picks are in.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Let's have a look. What have we got?
Sergio Garcia.
Yeah.
Shane Lowry.
Yeah.
Ian Poulter.
Hey, done it. And who did you want in instead of that?
I just had Poulter out and Rose in.
Rose in, yeah. Yeah. I think Rose, for everything he's done this week, and he has played well this week, I just don't think he's done enough for this.
Yeah.
I don't think he's done enough all season, really, whereas Poulter's been pretty solid. So, yeah. No, I'm happy with that. Shane Lowry, yeah. I'm happy Lowry's got a pick. I think he deserves it.
It was a bit hard not to, wasn't it? Like,
he only just got out.
He was talking about going to meet with GMAC and that after in his interview after the BMW there. It's like, yeah. you're obviously, he's Irish, isn't he? Like, and you're just, like, Harrington's there. He's not going to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, me we not picking go... you.
It goes back, though, doesn't it, to the point that you've made there, that we've made there about the strength and depth on the American team. Like, you look at that European team, even with the captain's picks, and you're not saying this person deserves to get in. There's nobody, is there? Like, I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, there's nobody that comes to my mind now to think, do you know what? They deserve to get in ahead of that person.
I know.
Whereas you could argue three or four, maybe five players on the American team could get in.
What, just, like, there's no one else, really?
Yeah, like
there's
I'm them three at the,
and Rose.
Yeah, there's
and
them three.
It, really,
and the only reason that we're saying Rose is because of the week he's had this week.
Yeah.
If Rose misses the cut the way that, like, McIntyre's missed the cut this week, and we haven't mentioned him getting a pick.
I didn't see that coming anyway, me, McIntyre, ever.
Did you not?
Nah.
A bit too soon for him.
Just not good enough.
No, come on.
What do you mean?
No. That's mean no, come on.
I just wouldn't ever pick him.
No. No, I think he's had. I think he's obviously cemented himself got himself into the top 50 this year. A few WGC events I mentioned. He's had a few decent finishes in the majors and stuff. So I just think in big tournaments he's done well. Although he hasn't won, he's won on the European Tour and he's just kicked on from there. I think his progression. Yeah, maybe it was a bit too soon for him, but I think if he finishes top 10 this week, Robert McIntyre, he's probably talking about him the same way we're talking about Rose. That's all I'm
maybe,
saying.
But
he's missed the cut. And again, it's not like we're putting a strong case forward for him.
Yeah, but it's like it's on the last 3 years of form, though, isn't it? It's meant to be.
You say that, but at the end of the day, like,
it's current, isn't it?
It's going to be current. If you got someone,
especially on the picks, like the form for the getting you in there, like the way Tommy's gone off the boil a little bit, but he's already cemented.
Yeah,
like that can sort of get you in, but like as you say, with the picks, you want someone who's fresh and play. You're not going to remember someone who won in 2019, and you're like, let's pick him.
Exactly, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, look, Tyrrell Hatton won in America in 2019. He won the Arnold Palmer, didn't he?
Was that 2019?
That's 2019, yeah.
Yes, this time gone.
I know. So then you've got Tyrrell Hatton winning that, and I just mentioned his form there. Played five tournaments in three months. Sorry.
Yeah, and he's
missed four cuts. He's got no form whatsoever. He's going enough.
No.
You know what I mean? Missed the cut this week again. It's like, but then, you know, you put him in a foursomes match with Rory McIlroy, and he could go out and win 5 and 4.
Exactly,
because
they're
top quality players.
You get more up for it. The form goes out the window a little bit, doesn't it, when they're out of the cup?
Like a derby match, isn't it? When there's a derby match on, like, forms. Yeah, you're right. And anyone can win, and it's always a close match.
Yeah.
But this is probably the least
Liverpool derby.
Never seems to go our way. I just look at that American team and the consistency of the play all season, and then look at the European team and think, who's going to prove us wrong? But hopefully they do prove us wrong. Obviously, we want Team Europe to win.
Of course, yeah.
We'll get behind Team
Europe.
It'd be
nice to have the Solheim and the Ryder back on European soil, wouldn't it? So.
Yeah, but I'd be interested to see the odds, to see how the bookies are calling this one, because it does look one-sided, doesn't it? But, you know, a Ryder Cup's a Ryder Cup. You can never judge it by form, like you say.
No, yeah, looking forward to it.
Form's out the window. And that brings us nicely on to that time again.
It's that time again, y'all. The birdie bogey bust, the birdie bogey bust, birdie bogey bust.
Watch your birdie.
Horschel coming over, winning a celebration, and then saying Wentworth like the players, like it just was boss.
No, it was, yeah.
I just gaining respect for him by the second. Like every night he was coming down the stretch that he was doing.
Yeah.
I know with the driver play didn't really work out because winning the thing, but like even how bold he was in driver off 18, it's like.
I know.
He was playing to win, and I seen an interview with him with that Tim Barter walking along, you know, when he'd walk off the thing. Mm-hmm. And he's like, look, I think he was 1 under at the time or 2 under. And he's like, I'm here to win. I want to win. I'm going to try my hardest. And if I don't win, at least I can go away thinking I've put everything into it and give myself the best shot.
Yeah, like he's not playing for points or playing for money. It's literally all or bust, isn't it?
But to talk about winning mid tournament and actually winning. Yeah. It's great, isn't it?
Yeah, unbelievable, yeah.
Like, you know,
the mentality.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Most people at that interview like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna try and like do my best and blah blah, but he's like, I'm here to win, like.
Yeah, I'm gonna take
it.
And he did, yeah. Backed it up.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Unbelievable. What's your ready with that?
Jack South shooting the first ever 59 on the Euro Pro Tour.
Mad one.
Unbelievable.
You should get a lot more for that 59. You should be like on the you should be in Holland this week.
Do you think so? Yeah. 59 should give you
should get you some sort of special exemption to
win as well. Shot 11 under final round to win. And I think watching his interview, he goes into that tournament with no form whatsoever. I think he was 66th on the order of merit. And you get 12.5 grand for winning that tournament. He walked away with 131k.
What, because of all the bonuses and stuff?
Yeah, you get 59 grand for shooting 59.
Sick.
As a bonus. And then he got 60 grand bonus. I cannot remember what it was for. But he got a 60 grand bonus for something else, and then the 12.5 for winning the tournament. So,
decent, isn't it?
Yeah, the biggest amount of money anyone's ever won on the Euro Pro Tour. He won 131k for one win. It's life changing. And he's recently just found out that his partner's pregnant as well.
Oh,
so,
no way.
Unbelievable. Like,
boss yeah, week.
Unbelievable week. Yeah, sets him up nicely, yeah. But that's me birdie for the week, yeah. Thought amazing story. Great for the tour. Great for Jack.
Boss, yeah.
And just great to see, really.
Some of the scoring on that Europe was frightening.
Frightening, though.
It's like 700-800s every round.
Yeah, like 18.
Multiple people shooting it as well.
Yeah, yeah. It's just the quality of play now these days. It's the same on the Challenge Tour. Say, and then get on the European Tour and the levels are just like... There's probably players on the Euro Pro Tour that you could put on the European Tour and they'd compete.
Yeah, of course, yeah. If you can get it round in 700, like, you can compete anywhere.
Mm, definitely.
Do you know what I mean?
What's your bogey?
My bogey is when you're in the night sitting here, like, and you're chilling in the weekend, and there's no PGA Tour on.
Oh,
it's killing me off that, yeah.
It's a killer, isn't it?
It was just weird because you just automatically go to, and you're like, oh, yeah, it's not on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was my bogey.
What have you been watching?
Anything. Clarkson's Farm. Which is very funny, by the way.
I need to see that. I've been told about it, yeah.
What's your bogey?
It was Bryson again. He was my bogey last week. I've been back on Bryson all season, just because of the things that he's been doing. But these past couple of weeks, man, he's just killing me. I mentioned, didn't I, a couple of weeks back that I wasn't really happy with the fact that he's picking to play a long drive tournament the day after the Ryder Cup finishes. It sort of takes away the shine of like what he's going to do.
Yeah.
And he could prove me wrong, but there's been videos uploaded this week where he's trialing and getting his game ready for the long drive competition.
Yeah, I've seen that in his like studio to kind of get the speed up
and he's with the long drive players. He's training with all them.
Yeah.
And I just think that like all his focus is on.
Like, do you think he's going to be turning up to the Ryder Cup just belting everywhere?
Well, I don't know. I know he's obviously he's a very clever person and stuff, but surely like if you're training your body to do a certain swing, can you just go back to swinging it a different way when you're playing a golf tournament? Can you have two games so close to each other? I'm not really sure. So I just think okay, it might be good to grow the game and to go in that tournament, but I just think the timing's off.
Yeah.
So then, obviously, my bogey was that anyway. That just justified what I was saying a couple of weeks back. But then he posts this video, like one of the most cringiest advertisements I've ever seen. He turns up in this like car worth $250,000 or over $1 million. I don't know. I'm not really into my cars. And it's all set up and some guy goes, "I love your car. What do you do for a living?" His response was, "Bro, I nuke it for a living."
Oh, my God. Shall get like, me that footage now.
I was like, how cringy is that? And then he just drives away. And I was like, this is just like... Know what I mean? He should be... My bogey is the fact that he should be doing like an advertisement to get at the Europeans in the Ryder Cup or do something to get in their heads. Like, he just seems so far away from that team event.
Yeah. That's the one thing that the Americans are lacking in it, the camaraderie.
It seems that way, yeah.
Of the team, like, of... You have a couple... They all hate each other, do you know
little,
what I mean?
It's little groups, isn't it? Like, obviously, Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth have been mates since they were kids, so you know that they're obviously going to be friends. But then, like, I don't know whether DJ and Brooks have had a bit of beef in the past, though.
I think so, with the... something to do with the seniors in the gym or something and didn't let on.
Is that what it was?
Something like that. Yeah, that's what I read in
something
the...
Something to do, yeah. And obviously, we know the Brooks and Bryson beef, don't
and
we?
And Bryson and Cantley, it seemed like when he was walking and stuff.
Yeah,
stop walking.
Walking,
Patrick?
Yeah. So... Yeah, you're right. But that was my bogey, just Bryson at it again. It'll probably be my birdie next week for something that he does, but you know, for today he's in the bogey list.
Yeah, he's in the bad books.
Yeah, what's your bust?
My bust is the picks, like Harrington and Stricker not doing the picks together, and then I think if they did, therefore Billy Horschel gets in.
Right.
Whereas because he's done it last week, that performance...
Does Stricker look at the BMW Championship, though, as a tournament to gauge... his American team, because it's obviously it's our flagship event, as I've said.
Jesus.
But at the end of the day, none of the American players were there, so he's not competing against the Americans, is he?
As you said, though, he's competing against the Europeans.
Yeah, the
and he's winning a tournament.
Yeah, but then does Stricker look at that and go, well, you know, you've had your opportunity over in America to win the tournament against the best players in the world, and you haven't done it, so that justifies me not picking you.
Yeah.
There's two sides to it, I think. But I agree with your side.
Well, you think
to
he's
it.
Finished higher than Berger, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And Scheffler?
Yeah.
So
definitely Scheffler. I'm not sure about Berger, because Berger had a good finish, didn't he? But
did he,
he definitely finished above Scheffler, yeah.
So there you go. So he's finished higher and he's won twice now.
And one of them was a match play against Scheffler.
I know, do you know what I mean? I just don't get it.
I know, it is strange.
Maybe he just doesn't like him.
Well, that's the fact that he didn't phone him. Maybe it's...
Because there was a bit of controversy. Remember, I didn't like him because there was controversy over the...
Slow play,
yeah.
But that was both of them, though, Scotty Scheffler and Billy Horschel.
Yeah.
It was painful to watch, but that's exaggerated by the fact that there's only two games on. So for the whole coverage, for the 4.5 hours that you're watching it, you're only watching them, so you're waiting ages for the coverage to hit the next shot anyway. So
it does get
exaggerated, that. Whereas if that was just a normal round where you're watching everybody else, that probably doesn't
even
mention.
You wouldn't even notice,
And
what's your bust?
My bust was, I mentioned it earlier, Patrick Reed didn't get in the Ryder Cup team. And it's the way he's acted. I don't know if you've seen it, but he's been liking tweets where Stricker's being called a coward and where people are criticising Stricker.
So he's dummies out the pram sort of thing.
Yeah, I think he just needs to accept the fact. At the end of the day, he's not 100% fit. He's just got out of hospital. His form's not where you would expect it to be for the level of him. He's won once on the tour yet, but it was at the beginning of the season, and there was a lot of controversy around that win.
Yeah.
When he plugged it in the rough. So, you know, and you mentioned there about the camaraderie and the team. If there's one person that's going to mix that up even more, it's Patrick Reed, isn't it? So, you know, I can understand and see why he hasn't picked Patrick Reed, but I just think the way Reed has...
Reacted
to it, yeah. That's my bust. I just think
that's a justifiable bust, because at the end of the day, like, you didn't get picked to, like, maybe, like, come out and say something, but don't do little bitchy things like liking comments where he's getting down, talk bad about.
Yeah, exactly.
That's just like,
yeah, because there's a couple of articles and comments saying obviously he doesn't run his own Twitter feed. It's like, yeah, but he's represented by that Twitter feed, so it's his team. So surely, like, I think there was about 6 or 7. Likes where
surely whoever's running it goes to him. Hey Paddy, what do you reckon about this? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, he's not going to be fully out the question, is he?
No, definitely not. So, yeah, that concludes the birdie bogey bust.
Yeah,
staying on the theme of Ryder Cups.
Yeah, the 2012 Ryder Cup, the Miracle at My Diner, as you call it.
My Diner, yeah.
Miracle at Medina.
Miracle at Medina, yeah.
Yeah, this was the 39th Ryder Cup. This, I feel like we've reviewed well more.
It's every week.
Yeah, I do, honestly. I think Ryder Cup coming out of my ears, man. The Country Club in Medina in Illinois, which is a suburb in Chicago.
What an event.
I know. It was known as the best sporting comeback of all time and the greatest in Ryder Cup history.
Yeah.
So the European team clinched it by 14.5 to 13.5. But at the start of the singles, USA led 10-6 and only required 4.5 points to win.
Yeah.
And then Europe required 8 points to retain and 8.5 to win it outright.
Out of 12 matches, and you're thinking, yeah, you've got to score points in 9 or 12 matches against a strong American team.
Very strong, yeah.
Yeah, you're thinking, but what's going on there?
It's just quite ironic that Martin Keimer's 5-footer on the 18th to beat Steve Stricker.
Yeah, and now he's captain.
Yeah, it's just mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Stricker was a captain's pick as well.
Was he?
A pick to get in, so I wonder if Stricker's picks are going to mess him up this time.
Yeah, well, maybe he's learned from that.
Yeah. And then Tiger Woods missed a putt on the final green and conceded the hole to Molinari, having the final point and securing the outright victory for the European team.
Wow.
So I think Pacama retained it and then Molinari won it. Yeah, it's widely regarded, as I said, as the best comeback in
sport
history.
Well, the Miracle in Medina, yeah, it was. It was unbelievable to watch. Yeah. So we went into that Sunday watching it, didn't we? And we were like, there's just no way that this is going to, that the Europeans are going to win this. You know what
I
mean? Like you say, you look at the strength of the American team and how well they played all week to go 10-6 up.
Of course.
In the doubles, you know, and then, we win one match and then was it on 17, Justin Rose holds like a million foot putt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, everything seems to go our way.
A video with Rose and he's like, sometimes when I have a few beers now, that 20 footer goes to a 60 footer. I said, I'm sure as I get older, it will get longer as well.
Yeah.
And he's laughing as that's
because
it
wasn't the easiest putt. Was it
down? It was a heavy breaker.
Unbelievable. There's so many moments in there where if they don't go in or something doesn't happen, then it's over.
He keeps the momentum going.
Yeah.
But Poulter and Nicholas Coulthard were captain's picks to this one. And they had four rookies, the American teams, to our one. So remember we were talking about the rookies playing a massive part. And weirdly enough, Poulter said when he actually got on the first tee of the singles, Bubba was on the tee, hyping up the crowd, and Poulter walked on, hyped up the crowd himself, and he said his heart rate, went, from, 85 to 185 in, 10 seconds. It was a good
Must be some buzz, that must be.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Oh, definitely. Imagine walking around going,
I know. They should have the whoops.
They have?
Have they got the whoops for the Ryder Cup?
That's what I read, yeah. They're all going to
be
whooped up. That'll
be amazing, because I know JT's got one, hasn't he? And
Rory's got one as well.
Rory, yeah, so it'll be great to see you.
Million %, that'd be sick.
Especially first tee, just to see how it goes, man.
Just to see it spike.
I'm going to put mine on, because I get a bit hyped
defo.
When that happens, yeah. But no,
so you'll put it on for the Ryder Cup, but you won't put it on for your day-to-day life.
That's the story of my life, then. Weirdo.
That concludes the 2012.
Memorable one, yeah. Yeah, very memorable one, yeah. 2014, as I say, we're doing 12 and 14 this week, 16 and 18 next week, and then obviously the Ryder Cup starts the following week. So,
boom.
Back in the UK, host of the Glen Eagles.
Oh, yeah, remember this one, yeah.
Europe's captain, Paul McGinley, US team led by Tom Watson. Actually, worldwide live coverage event now, the Ryder Cup. Remember we spoke, 15, 20 years ago where it wasn't even covered on the telly.
No,
just shows the growth of it. And the reason I'm mentioning that is obviously the live coverage was shown on Sky Sports, which obviously we see the coverage, and US coverage was done by the Golf Channel and NBC for the first time.
Ah, nice.
It being changed over. And what's interesting about that was Nick Faldo was asked to come on as a guest on the Friday just to talk about the Ryder Cup. And it was where he made those controversial comments about Sergio Garcia and we spoke about in the Ryder Cup
Nick Faldo
said he was useless.
That's a mad one, isn't it?
So this is where it happened on the Friday of the 2014 Ryder Cup, and then obviously Poulter's come out and said it's not good time, and really he's meant to be Team Europe and he's on an American show slagging us all.
That's mad, isn't it? That is weird though, isn't it?
It is a mad thing to do, yeah, but it's not the first time he's done He's had a couple of interviews as well where he's backed his comments up. So, you know,
it's what he feels, isn't it? Speaking his truth,
yeah. He's not taking any blame himself. Like,
yeah.
Not to do with
I didn't miss a shot. So
I was the perfect captain, yeah. Interestingly, the Europeans changed the selection process for this one in 2014.
Who decides that?
It's the committee, isn't it? They have a committee that decided every year. So,
do you think that they should just unify it as one thing and both do the same?
Because I'll tell you now as well, the Americans have changed their format as well. So the format that the Europeans changed it to for the 2014 Ryder Cup is the one that it is now.
Ah, right.
So okay. Obviously they've kept it this
way. 9-3.
So basically it increased captain's picks from 2 to 3 and it decreased qualification from the European tour selections from 5 to 4. So 4 from the European tour list, 5 from the world rankings, and then 3 captain's picks.
Oh, right, okay.
Which is the way it is now. And then the only change to the USA format from 2012 at Medina was captain's picks were reduced from 4 to 3. Right. Instead of 4 captain's picks, it was 3. So,
and now they've got 6.
And now they've gone 6-6, yeah. So you can see why the Americans keep changing, though, because they just keep getting beat. They have the odd win, but, you know, if you look, since the Ryder Cup has gone America versus Europe have got quite a commanding lead. So,
yeah.
Obviously, overall, America are doing better, but they had God knows how many wins when it was America versus GB and Ireland, didn't they?
They were battering us, weren't they? Week in, week out.
Exactly. So, the European captain's picks for this one was Stephen Gallagher. It was a surprise pick. He had a good season, but not much to go off. Other than that, McGinley picked him. Ian Poulter got a pick again, and Lee Westwood.
Loves a little pick, Poulter, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's what I mean, the 3 selections, yeah. It's where the fist pumps and the beating of the chest get you.
Yeah.
US captain selections were Keegan Bradley, Hunter Mahan, and Webb Simpson. And it was pretty much a game of 2 halves, really. The USA took both better balls by a score of 2.5 to 1.5. But the Europeans battered America in the foursomes on both afternoons, winning 3.5 to 0.5 points.
Right.
So going into the singles, it was a flip reverse to the 2012 one. The Europeans were leading 10-6 going into the singles. Rory took the first singles. He beat Fowler 5-4.
Lovely.
Followed by G-Mac, who beat Jordan Spieth 2-1. And then Europe had a 12-6 lead there and just needed 2 points to retain or 2.5 to win outright. And it was rookie Jamie Donaldson who had the chance to win the Ryder Cup for Europe after Rose got a half in his match and Keimer beat Bubba Watson. And Donald stuck a wedge on 15 to about 3 or 4 foot and get to 5-3 victory over one of Tom Watson's picks, Keegan Bradley.
No.
And that was the third Ryder Cup win in a row. Finished 16.5 to 11.5 in total.
And it was 6 in the last 7 as well.
Yeah.
For Europe.
Was it that many? Yeah. Was it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I know. Forgot to mention as well, in the 2012, Ollie Fowlball dedicated his victory to Seve.
Oh, it was emotional, wasn't it?
Yeah. Who died in 2011.
Yeah.
Do you know he was only 54?
Seve, when he passed away, was he?
That's mad, isn't it?
It is mad.
So now he'd only be 64, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's very young.
Young, that, isn't it?
Yeah, very young, yeah.
Wow.
I know.
Interestingly enough that you're talking about the 2014 Ryder Cup there.
Yeah.
So what happened in 2014 was the Ryder Cup picks were made and then Billy Horschel the next week went and won the FedEx whole thing, 10 million.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
So, like, it's happened, like, exactly what's happened again.
He's just missed out again.
Yeah.
What a nightmare, man. Yeah, has he played the Ryder Cup?
I don't know. I have to
fact check that.
Look forward to see what the crack is.
Surely he deserves a go, like, even for them two stories alone, winning the tournament straight after the picks just should guarantee him for the next one. Yeah.
Nope, he's not in the 2016, and I don't think he was in the 2018, do you?
Not that. Did I you remember him? No, don't remember him being there, no.
Definitely,
never played in the Ryder Cup. That's a very, very interesting one, that.
I know, it's crazy,
Obviously, we've got a couple of weeks break before the Ryder Cup starts.
Yeah.
So there's only really one tournament to look forward to this week, which is the Dutch Open, the KLM Open.
I was actually speaking to Lee Slattery on Wednesday, I think, actually, down at the golf club, talking about the Dutch Open.
Yeah, he's there, isn't he?
He's looking forward to it. He's playing well.
Yeah, he is. He's playing well at the moment. Yeah, there's a few of them that are back on the European Tour there. Matty Baldwin, Mansell and Gandy, after playing in the Challenge Tour, Modest Golf Tournament. They're back on the European Tour making an appearance. And I'm not sure if Louis Oosthuizen is still injured. because I know he didn't play. A couple
I was
going
to say, why would he be playing the Dutch Open if he's, and he didn't play the Rolex? It was an injury, yeah.
Yeah, so I think he's done something to his neck. But he is down as playing at this tournament, so he's obviously the lowest ranked player in the world that'll be playing there. It's obviously good for the tour. If he does turn up and play, and then the usual suspects are there. It's at the Bernardus Golf Club. It's hosting the event for the first time it's ever hosted it. So obviously the last time the event was almost 2019 because of the 2020 COVID.
Wasn't it Sergio, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, defending champ Sergio Garcia, yeah. He obviously won't be attending for obvious reasons, as we know now. He's got his captain selection, hasn't he? So, again, I'm looking forward to watching this one.
Well, according to the European Tour website, this course is 7,200 yards and every hole's a par 4 and every hole's 400 yards. So there's some sort of typo going on here.
Maybe they haven't got the information. Well, it's one of them courses that nobody really knows. I mean, Kyle Phillips, the American architect who designed King's Barnes.
Oh, yeah.
He's designed this course. So obviously in good hands when you look at the quality of King's Barnes.
No, 1,000,000%.
I've had a little look at the pictures on the course. There's not much information about the course out there, but it's got like a canal that runs right through the centre of the course, and there's quite a lot of water hazards there, and it's got a lot of those like waste bunkers. Do you know, like the sandy waste bunkers?
Oh yeah, like at Whistling Straits, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It looks like a bit of a challenge. There's definitely some trouble there. There's trees on one of the hole as well, so got a bit of everything.
Yeah,
bit of links, bit of water, bit of trees. Should be an interesting one.
I can't find, but Louis Oosthuizen isn't on the list, Jim.
No.
The entry list, no. Maybe he's pulled out.
Maybe he's pulled out. And he was confirmed to play.
No, he was. I've seen he's confirmed, but I just can't see him, actually.
He's not on the
on
list,
the thing at all, no.
But we'll see. We'll see,
yeah,
if he,
see how he goes, yeah.
See how he goes, you'll see. It's only Sunday, isn't it? So I'm sure we'll hear more news as the week goes on.
Of course, yeah.
But yeah, another event. Looking forward to it. At least we get to watch some golf until the big event.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Looking forward to see what comes of the golf.
We love to see it.
It says here one of the entries on the entry list is the BMW PGA Championship winner. Surely Billy Horschel's not going to play, is he? What do you reckon?
Be great if he does.
Isn't it?
A little trip to Holland.
He looks like a little Hollander, doesn't he? Like with his West Ham bag in there. Sick, man.
Straight over there. No, I doubt it. I don't know. Would they go to second place, maybe? I don't know. Most of them on the European Tour that finished in the top 10 will probably already be playing in this one.
Yeah.
I can't see him going over there, to be honest, but maybe.
Well, the prize is like a million. The whole purse is a million, isn't it? So,
yeah.
Like,
I know.
Don't wait for him getting out of bed, is it?
Cost him more to fuel his private plane than winning it, yeah.
Exactly. But I just think if he is concentrating on the race to Dubai, which is why he played Wentworth, it might be worth him having a do.
Yeah, definitely. Well, really, really. The fact that he's won the BMW gives him that comfort that he doesn't really have to go and play the KLM Open.
It's like the European Tour equivalent of the Barbasol, isn't it?
I was wondering how we were going to get that in that week, this week.
It's like our thing now, and we just slagged the Barbasol off.
Yeah, fucking hell, I know. Brilliant stuff. I'd say, just getting excited for the Ryder Cup. Now the season's winding down, isn't it? You know, we've got the race to the Dubai as well.
Race to the Dubai.
Do you know why that is? Because I've got Race to the FedEx as the order of merit name. Race to Dubai, that's going to conclude in a couple of months. So again, once the Ryder Cup is over, there's still plenty more golf to talk about. But we've got a few interviews that we're going to be releasing.
Definitely.
Over the next couple of weeks as well. Some good interviews to look forward to and some good ones lined up
Brooks one's good, isn't it? Like he's a sick man, isn't he?
Joe's legend. Proper nice guy, yeah. And obviously got a great story. And like how he open and honest he was about us when he first turned pro, he didn't really take it that serious. And now he's took it serious. He's got a psychologist. He's got more of a purpose to his practice. He's obviously showing the results, a couple of second place finishes on the Euro Pro, and he's got a great chance of getting his card for the Challenge Tour next season if he has a good finish.
That's what they need, don't they?
Yeah, definitely. No, but
wish him the best of luck anyway.
Yeah, definitely. And enjoy the rest of your week watching
the golf. Nice, getting it done on a Sunday, isn't it? Like it's a
I mean, obviously we'd have this done every Sunday if it weren't for the fact that we're in the UK and the American golf finishes so late.
Main talking point, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm looking forward to watching the Dutch Open and looking forward to catching up with you next week when I'm sure we'll have more news on the Ryder Cup. But until next week, mate, we'll catch you soon.
Ciao.
Oh, we topped it.
Whoa, he cold topped it.
Okay. Better get up.
Yeah. Okay, Darren. Oh, he shanked it. Oh, look at that line, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, boy, is he out of sync.